You know, it's at this time of year that we celebrate the history of America. We celebrate the history of the beginning of our nation. And because it's an election year, we also now are looking forward to what's going to be happening to our nation over the next several years, decades, or centuries. There's a great verse on the back of your handout this morning, the back of your bulletin. There's a little outline of just some thoughts I'd like to share with us this morning. And it's based on a proverb. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34. It's printed for you on the back of your bulletin. I'd like for us to read it together out loud, if you would do that with me together. Proverbs 14, verse 34. Let's read this. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. You know, we're gathered here together today so that we can come together as a church faith community and show our unity and our harmony and come with one voice saying that we want to make Jesus famous in the foothills. Isn't that true? We want to make Jesus famous in the foothills of in this community. And we know that it takes a variety of people, a variety of places, a variety of faiths, a variety of expressions of faith to do that. And so we're glad that you're here this morning as we surround ourselves with the unity of being the followers of Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you stumbled into this gathering or somebody invited you and you haven't yet found a faith in Jesus Christ, we want to welcome you. And what we hope you see in us this morning is a love for each other that is based on a love that God has for us. We know that we don't always express that love purely. We don't always express it the right way, but that is our desire, isn't it? Amen. That's our desire, that we would live in harmony and unity and together express one voice. But this verse today is a good verse for us just to spend a few moments reflecting upon. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34 was written by King Solomon. King Solomon was the king of ancient Israel in the middle of the 10th century B.C. The Bible tells us that Solomon wrote over 5,000 of these wise sayings. There are 500 of them in the book of Proverbs alone. In addition, he wrote over 1,000 songs. In your Bible, you have the Song of Solomon, which is one of those songs. A proverb is a statement that is true to life. How to live out life. And Solomon had a special endowment of wisdom from God, and so he took the time regularly to write out these pithy sayings. Now, the one that we're looking at this morning is what we call a parallelism. Turn to your neighbor and say, what is a parallelism? A parallelism is a two-lined proverb, and the first sentence in the proverb expresses an idea related to life. And then the second sentence in the proverb reflects the same idea, but expresses it in a different way or in a contrasting way. So Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34 is a parallelism. The first part of the verse simply says, righteousness exalts a nation. And as we come to this holiday, we talk about the state of our nation and where we've been and where we're going. And then Solomon writes the opposite, but sin is a disgrace to any people. These words are not written by a historian or a politician, but a king who's trying to manage his kingdom in the ancient world. He's an experienced king, a wise king. He's trying to manage his kingdom in a time of peace, which sometimes is harder than during a time of war. What would this ancient Middle Eastern king have to say to us this 4th of July weekend? And how can we relate these truths to our nation today? Well, let's examine just the four key words, if you will, with me in this text this morning. The first word is the word righteousness. Righteousness of a nation. This word is seldom used outside church today. We don't often hear it spoken publicly or in our politics. We don't hear the news media say much about the word righteousness. But there are three simple implications if we understand the word righteousness. The first implication is that there's a standard. Righteousness includes or implies a standard. In the book of Psalms 119, verse 142, it says, your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, God, and your law is the truth. At the founding of our nation, the Bible was held in high esteem. And there are both direct and indirect quotations all throughout our founding father documents. They weren't all necessarily men and women of faith, but their consciences demanded a moral standard. This standard is interwoven into all of our founding documents, and it has been part of the American experiment for the last 240 years. Our society today has made a shift, And instead of a collective standard, we've individualized or personalized our standard. But righteousness implies that there's a standard, a moral code that we live by. The word righteousness also implies that there's a sovereign. If you have a moral code, then there has to be someone who gave us that moral code. And there has to be someone that defines what is righteousness and what is unrighteousness. God is the one on the authority in what righteousness is. Psalm 71 verse 19 says, "Your righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things? O God, who is like you?" When we accept a standard, we also accept a sovereign. Who is the sovereign over the standard of our code? Is it us, ourselves as individuals? Is it our government? Is it our God? We would say that if there's a standard, there's also a sovereign. And the third thing that the word righteousness implies is submission. If you have a standard and you have a sovereign, then in order for righteousness to be exhibited, there has to be a code. There has to be submission to that rule, to that code. It's one thing to admit that there's a standard. It's quite another thing to make that standard our own. The word in our text intimates a personal righteousness, a personal morality. This is the standard of ethics that has guided our nation from its founding up into the generation in which we live. Our forefathers chose the righteousness of the Bible to be its guiding light. The second word in our text today is the word exalting. The righteousness exalts a nation. That is an interesting word as well. Who can doubt that America has been exalted among the nations? In just over a couple of centuries, we have become in many ways the jewel of the earth, even surpassing countries that have existed long before us and have existed in a much longer time than our young history. Over the last couple of decades, it seems that we've lost a little bit of our global luster, but English is still the world language, and our dollar is still the foundation for world trade, and our borders are still the most desired. Americans put the credit for such astonishing success in a variety of places. Some of us lay it at the feet of our industriousness. The mentality is that we have somehow deserving of the greatness and power of our past. That we earned it. We pulled ourselves up by our own bootstraps. Some lay the credit at the feet of our Constitution and its authors. The establishment of personal freedoms and the protection from tyranny somehow has elevated our nation above others. Some lay it at the feet of our founding fathers who led the revolution and established the framework for our laws and our government. I believe that America is great because of the very truth right here in Proverbs 14, verse 34. Righteousness exalts a nation. America has been exalted because its citizens have historically held strong into belief of personal goodness and holiness. America was founded on the principle that we have standards for our character and our morality. That there is a goodness and a collective living that we in our personal lives as Americans have a high moral code. Although not every individual has ever always followed such a code, there has been a collective social pressure to live up and to live decent lives. There was a time when we as Americans collectively held a common standard. We were all expected to strive for righteousness. We expected it from ourselves. We expected it from our neighbors. We also understand that this standard does not find its source within ourselves. Providence has provided the standards. The words penned by the prophet Moses were accepted as the code of conduct for many of us. Again, not all of us lived by this code throughout our history, but it was a common expectation among our people. America has always been also been exalted because we've tried to export this righteousness abroad. Not exporting religion, but exporting righteousness. Missionaries, mission organizations, political and social groups have shared our standards with nations around the world. Most have also shared the God behind those standards. Historians can't deny the fact that America has historically been the leader in humanitarian efforts, in benevolence, and missionary work. This has caused us to be exalted. It is because of the past standards and the humility of following those standards that we now enjoy a preeminent place on the world scene. Let us just for a moment examine the word exalt. Righteousness exalts a nation. The word exalt is, the exalted nation is a special nation. One meaning of the word exalt is to be lifted up and to be made high. Surely there's no other nation in the world which has been lifted up and exalted more than America through the 19th and the 20th centuries. The exalted nation is also a secure nation. Another meaning for the word exalt is to raise on high into an inaccessible fortress out of the reach of danger. Many of the reasons why America has experienced peace on the homeland is because we've been an exalted and secure nation. The word exalt also means a successful nation, to triumph over our enemies. At a glance at the history of America, this will reveal that the hand of providence has allowed us to lead much of the world in the areas of industry and commerce and business and production. In World War II, America and its allies took on much of the world to assure freedom throughout the globe. Proverbs teaches us that industry and military victory, our constitution, our system of democracy are not the primary reason America has been great, but are simply the byproducts of our greatest foundational principle, which is the belief in living high and moral lives. Our greatness stems from our desire to live with high standards and morals, which did not originate from ourselves, but have been revealed through our sovereign. Alexis de Tocqueville is a historian that lived in the early 1800s from France. He is a political thinker and historian, and he came to America in the early 1800s to discover the greatness of America. He saw America moving onto the world scene, and he tried to figure out how we could be so exalted in such short a time. And he wrote a book called Democracy in America. And this was his conclusion. I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her vast harbors and ample rivers, but I didn't find it there. I searched for the greatness of America in her fertile fields and her boundless forests, but I didn't find it there. I searched in her rich mines and her vast world commerce, but I did not find it there. I searched for it in her Democratic Congress and her matchless Constitution, but I didn't find it there. It was not until I went into the churches of America and heard the pulpits aflame with righteousness that I understand the secret to her greatness and her genius and her power. America is great because she is good. And if America ever stops to be good, she will cease to be great. Unquote. Exalts. Righteousness exalts. The parallelism in our verse today goes to the counterpart, which says in the second half, but the sin of a nation is a disgrace. Now we come to the contrasting aspects of God's promise to any nation. As surely as righteousness exalts a nation, sin disgraces it. God says so in the very same verse. Now sin has several definitions. Sin can be missing or removing the standard. To sin simply means to miss the mark as the archer misses the target. And in Psalm chapter 12 and verse 1, the psalmist cried out, help, Lord, for the godly man cease, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. Sin is simply removing the standard. Sin can also be rationalizing wrong. Another meaning for the word sin is to stumble, to err from the path. It seems to be that we've built an excuse because we've rationalized wrong. It's human nature. The third thing that the word sin teaches us is that it can be simply a revolt. We can just say, I'm no longer living by the standard. I'm no longer acknowledging the sovereign behind the standard. And when I pull down the sovereign and when I pull down the standard and I make morality my own, then we can stumble and we can fall. Sometimes we can just shake our fist in the sovereign's face and say, no, I'm going to do it my way. The word disgrace is an interesting word as well. Disgraced means to be lowered. One of the definitions of disgrace is to be brought low, to go from the heights to the depths. And a nation that embraces sin instead of lifting up righteousness will slowly spiral into a lower position. Disgrace also means to be dishonored. It means to be ridiculed, to be railed on, to be reviled. Disgrace also means to be defeated. It means to be stripped away or to be plucked of all that is good. So when you look at the history of a nation, all you can have to look at is when righteousness is exalted, it exalts the nation. When sin is allowed, the nation begins to be lowered. So as Americans today, we just have to look over the past history of our nation and ask, are we on the rise or are we being lowered? And what's the cause of that? The conclusion is that America has been great because of God. And America has been great because our citizens have been good. One of the themes that one of our candidates is expressing is, let's make America great again. And we all rally behind that idea. Let's make America great again. Let me encourage you to think along the lines of Proverbs 14:34. To make America great, we need a revival of righteousness. And it doesn't come from the political party. It doesn't come from the government. It comes from the citizens. And I want to challenge us as followers of Jesus. It starts with us. That we recognize there's a standard. There's a moral code. And through living out that moral code, we are a light and salt to the world. That moral code has a sovereign behind it. So we honor the sovereign by living the standard. And God will exalt us again. If we want to make Jesus famous here in the foothills, we need a return to righteousness, a return to the standard, a return to the sovereign, a return to the submission. And the family of God must lead the way. And we must lead the way here in the foothills. And the way that we do that is first and foremost as followers of Jesus and as citizens of this great country. I believe America is great. I believe it's the greatest nation on the earth. And I believe it can be even greater. But November the 6th is not going to determine our greatness. I think it's November the 6th. Are we voting on November the 6th? I'm voting on November the 6th, so whenever you guys. What happens on that day is not going to determine the greatness of America first and foremost. Proverbs tells us what's going to determine the greatness of the future of our nation, as with every other nation, is a rise of righteousness. And that starts with us. That starts with us. Let's pray. God, we thank you that when you wrote through Solomon so many centuries ago, you knew that this simple verse applied to America today. It's so amazing that your word speaks truth in every culture and every generation. Lord, I pray this 4th of July weekend, we would pray for our nation, we would pray for our leaders, we would pray for our future. And as we reflect upon our past, we're grateful for the men and women that went before us that understood a standard is required for democracy to succeed, and that there is a sovereign behind that standard. And Lord, may we, as your followers, may we live holy and just lives so that we can be a light and a salt to those around us. May you be in our nation. May you raise up your people to be the agents of change to make America even greater than it is. Thank you for this gathering today. May it ignite something in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.